The Characters of Easter podcast with Dan Darling is brought to you by the Life Audio Podcast Network and is part of our Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
Well, hello and welcome again to The Characters of Easter. This is Dan Darling, author and pastor and senior VP at the National Religious Broadcasters. Glad to be partnering with Life Audio and Crosswalk.com for this special podcast during this Easter season. These podcasts are based off my book, The Characters of Easter, The Villains, Heroes, Cowards, and Crooks Who Witnessed History's Biggest Miracle. It's available from Moody Press. You can go to danieldarling.com/Easter or find it at your favorite retailer. Well, today I'd like to speak about one of the more obscure but important characters in the Easter story, the one that I call in this book the rogue, and that would be Barabbas. I want to read this quote from Augustine, 4th century. He says of Barabbas, "The criminal escaped, Christ was condemned, the one guilty of many crimes received a pardon. He who had remitted the crimes of all who confessed was condemned. And yet the cross itself also, if you reflect upon it, was a courtroom. In the middle of it stood the final judge." 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit."
But look around you. Your family, your faith, they're not in the way. They are the way.
From the creators of Jesus Revolution comes the incredible true story.
It's going to be dangerous and scary and giving up. It's not an option.
The story of one family's journey from down under to center stage. Unsung Hero, a For King and Country film starring Candace Cameron Bure and Terry O'Quinn. In theaters now. Visit unsunghero.movie to learn more. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever gotten in trouble for something that you didn't do? I know a lot of times I didn't get in trouble for things I did do, things I got away with when I was in school or at home when I was a kid. But I actually distinctly remember a time when I got in trouble for something I didn't do. So I was in elementary school, probably third or fourth grade, and our school, a small Christian school, would about once a quarter take a trip, a swimming trip to Harper College, is a local junior college that had a swimming pool. We worked out an arrangement where we could use the pool. And, you know, for me, third or fourth grade, that was an awesome opportunity, a fun trip that I look forward to. And our school had a system called privilege. It was like if you had good grades and you behaved, you didn't get demerits, you got to be in the status where you were able to do the field trips on Friday, have longer breaks. Well, I typically try to stay on the straight and narrow and have that honor. Well, one Friday morning, we were supposed to go to Harper College to go swimming. I packed all my bags. I had everything ready. Was ready to get on that bus. I was so excited. I was in line. I get up there for them to check me before we leave. The supervisor, the teacher, checks the list, and I'm not on that list. I'm like, what is going on? So I went and checked with my teachers, and I said, what's going on? Well, apparently I was not on the list, and I should have been. And in fact, I had gotten in trouble for something that I didn't do. I think they had a case of mistaken identity. Of course, I thought it was the biggest injustice in the history of mankind. Now that I look back, probably wasn't a big deal, and it was probably a good lesson for me that sometimes you get accused of things, you get in trouble for things you didn't do. How do you deal with that? Well, on a much grander scale, we have the story of Easter, right? And the trial of Jesus before Pilate. Jesus is standing there before Pilate. He's the Roman governor. And we'll discuss Pilate in a future episode. But he doesn't want to be here. He doesn't want to make a decision about Jesus. He can clearly see that Jesus is innocent of the crimes against him. He was being charged with crimes of sedition, of insurrection. He clearly was not fomenting insurrection. In fact, many of his followers were upset with him, Judas and others included, because he wouldn't do that. He said, "My kingdom's not of this world." He talked of him suffering and having to rise again and then returning again for a second advent to come and come in victory. He talked of dying on a cross. He talked of taking the cup of God's wrath when he's in the garden. He's asking God to remove this cup from him. He talked about the kingdom, the way the kingdom was upside down in terms of power and structure, which really did not resonate with people. They wanted him to overthrow Rome and lead them to victory. So he clearly was not guilty of insurrection. Jesus was. And Pilate knew it. Pilate knew insurrectionists when he saw it. And he saw Jesus, and he knew he was a teacher. He worked miracles. He stirred up controversy with the Jewish people because he claimed to be Messiah. But he had this angry mob that wanted Jesus put to death. Eventually, they would say, "We have no king but Caesar," which for the Jewish people to say was just incredible because they didn't like the Roman power. They felt under the thumb of Rome. They wanted their independence. But they were more angry at Jesus because Jesus claimed to be Messiah. The Sadducees, particularly those who were closer to power, were upset because he was kind of upsetting the delicate balance that they had here. So Pilate clearly knows Jesus is not guilty, but he doesn't know what he can do. So what does he do? Well, he every year, as a kind of a peace offering, if you will, Pilate would offer the release of a prisoner. And there's a little bit of history between Pilate here. He was in a troubled position. He didn't have much power. There had been some other uprisings that he'd had to put down. Rome was kind of eyeing him warily to make sure that he was in control of his province and his region. So this is one of the things he would do. Standing ready to be condemned and ready to be put on the cross was a fellow named Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was guilty. We don't know much about Barabbas, really. There's hardly anything in the scriptures about him. But we do know that he was condemned for insurrection. We know that he, you know, as we talked about in a previous podcast, there was a spectrum of an approach to the way that Jewish people approach Rome. Some were more accommodating, like the Sadducees, and conformed to kind of Roman power and gained power in the Roman government. Some, like the Pharisees, resisted that, but they called for spiritual renewal. Then there were others who were more like Judas, who were more antagonistic. Jesus had in his own disciples Simon the Zealot, who was just a zealot who really was it. But then you had on the far, far end people who were insurrectionists. And many people believe Barabbas was a mercenary who would go kill and just create havoc. He could be paid by certain groups to create havoc. He'd probably kill. He'd probably try to lead an insurrection against Rome. So he was guilty. He knew it, and everybody knew it. People like this also were not looked on that kindly by the Jewish people because sometimes he would actually kill their own people in order to pay off whoever was having him go do this sort of murder for hire work. So he was not that beloved. It's what we would think of as just a far, far extreme, anti-government extremist that blows up a federal building or does something that we view them as domestic terrorists. This is essentially what Barabbas was. He was a domestic terrorist. And yet here Pilate is saying, okay, we've got two options. I think his way out of having to deal with Jesus, who he knew was innocent, but he didn't want that blood on his hands. He has his wife telling him that you can't do this because I've had a dream and I think Jesus is innocent and he's the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah. So I think he thought his way out was, let me offer them, they can release somebody. Surely they're not going to pick this domestic terrorist to be released over Jesus who heals and he feeds and he does miracles. Well, that backfires because he says, who would you want to be released? And they say, Barabbas. give us Barabbas. They want Jesus crucified. And so Pilate, weak and feckless, at the mercy of the mob, releases Barabbas and sends Jesus to the cross. And so imagine being Barabbas for a second. And I've always thought about this myself. Here's Barabbas in jail, waiting to be crucified, waiting to go to the cross. He knows he's going to die. He's probably made peace with it. Crucifixion was probably the most ignoble death you can imagine. It was embarrassment. It was shame. We carry crosses around our necks as Christians, and we put them on our clothes and our calendars because it's a symbol of hope for us. But in those days, a cross was a symbol of embarrassment. So he knows he's going to be put to death by the state for insurrection. He's guilty. Imagine him pacing back and forth in his cell. Imagine thinking, what are my final words? Maybe writing a letter to his mother or contacting friends. Maybe he's remorseful in that cell and he's saying, you know, I realize that violence and all of this was wrong. And I don't know how he was feeling. It's interesting. Barabbas was supposed to die in between two other thieves. Many people believe Barabbas and the two people who else were hung were all co-conspirators in this conspiracy to overthrow Rome. It's very likely. So here's Barabbas. Here's the two others. They're ready to go to their deaths. Then all of a sudden, a guard comes and gets him. Again, this is my sanctified imagination, but a guard comes and gets him and gives him the most amazing news he's ever heard in his life. Barabbas, Pilate is setting you free. You are free. Your record is expunged. You are a free person. Now think about what he's thinking. I've read stories of people who have sat on death row. John Grisham's book, The Innocent Man, talks about someone who was maybe days away from being executed for a murder that he did not commit. And then they get the word that you've been set free, you've been released. And just the freedom and the innocence and the feeling you feel about having new life, that you thought you were going to go to your death, and here you are going out, not just free, but having your record expunged, and you have a fresh start on life. What an amazing feeling he must have felt. And I wonder what his life was like after that. You know, in my imagination, I imagine for the rest of his life, he's wondering, I was set free and someone else took my place. It's not just that he was acquitted. A lot of people are acquitted. No, somebody who is innocent took the place of the guilty one, Barabbas. Imagine what he felt for the rest of his life. I'm guessing the joy and the appreciation I hope he felt toward Jesus. I wonder if him and Jesus had ever crossed paths. I wonder if when he was languishing in jail for insurrection, if he'd ever heard stories of this itinerant rabbi who had made his way throughout Judea, and who is from the Galilee, who made his way throughout Judea, healing and doing miracles and talking about the kingdom of God and talking about a kingdom not of this world. I wonder if he had any interactions, if their paths crossed. But now that he's set free and he finds out that Jesus took his place, just imagine for a second, like, his joy and relief. And I wonder, did he ever see Jesus as the Messiah? Of course he saw Jesus as his Savior in terms of, you know, saving him from the gallows, saving him from the cross. But he did ever turn to him to see him as his eternal Lord and Savior. And so this is why the story of Barabbas is so important for us on Easter, because we are all in the place of Barabbas. The Bible says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, it says in Romans. And Isaiah, it says, we have all gone astray, have all turned our own way. In a sense, we are all insurrectionists against the kingdom of God. We are all violators of God's holy law. We all deserve death. And the Bible says that Jesus, who was righteous and the innocent one, he took our place. He stood in our place. He took our pain. He took the shame, the weight of our sin upon him so that we could walk free. 2 Corinthians says that God made him who knew no sin to be made sin for us so that we could be the righteousness of God in him. We are made righteous, that he took our place. What a beautiful, beautiful illustration that Barabbas is this Easter of all of us when we come to the cross. You see, the cross is not for good people who think they're good. The cross is not for people who think they're well. Jesus says, I've not come for those who are well, but those who are sick, who need a physician. When we all come to the cross, we come with our sin. We don't deserve. This is why Paul would later say, the Apostle Paul would say, I'm the chief of sinners. In other words, I've received mercy I did not deserve. And same with you and I, that all of us deserved the wrath of God poured on us for the sin we committed against him. Barabbas's guilt, his insurrection against Rome, is a tiny microcosm of our sin against a holy God and a holy Savior. And Jesus, he took our place. What a great thought this Easter. This is the central message of Easter, that Jesus died in our place and he rose again and he offers us new life in him. Man, if you're listening today and you're wondering about the Christian faith and what it's about, it's not about us being good and satisfying God. It's about us being guilty and Jesus dying in our place and giving us his righteousness. Let me read this from 1 Peter 3:18 once again. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Man, I hope you can say today that like Barabbas, you were guilty, but Jesus took your place. You look to him as your Savior and your Lord. He took on your sin and offers you his righteousness in return. Thank you for joining me today on the Characters of Easter podcast. If you want more information about this book, available from Moody Press, The Characters of Easter, go to danieldarling.com/Easter or find it at your favorite retailer.
The Characters of Easter podcast is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. We hope you'll also check out Dan Darling's book, The Characters of Easter, The Villains, Heroes, Cowards, and Crooks Who Witnessed History's Biggest Miracle. It's available from Moody Publishers on Amazon.com or wherever you buy your books. You can find more from Dan and all his latest books and podcasts by visiting danieldarling.com. If you liked what you just listened to, would you just take a second and tell your friends about us? Maybe leave us a rating on your favorite podcast app? This podcast is produced by Kelly Givens and Stephen Sanders, with editorial oversight provided by me, Stephen McGarvey. To find more great Christian podcasts like this, check out the rest of our shows at lifeaudio.com.
What do you do when the world around you is falling apart? It's amazing to me how many people are breathing air. They're going about their business and doing the things you're supposed to do. But if you really ask them, they know that on the inside, they are spiritually and emotionally and relationally dead. If we're not careful, all of us can experience that death. When what we need to do, even as the world around us is falling apart, we need to learn how to march when it would be easier to stay where we are and die. Join me each week on the March or Die Show as we discuss that and so much more.